Hey, Redline Radio listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Hey, Don, Frankie Bernicetti drinking a Miller Lite, just getting ready for a garage sale over at my nephew White Sox Dave's house. And I heard he's got a couple of nice pitching wedges for sale. I'm going to bring a case of Miller Lite by.
Hey, how you doing? Great garage sale here. You could even help yourself to a couple free Millers. Mm. Nice guy, Dave. Dave, you're a nice guy. Why don't you jump in here and talk about how nice of a guy you are?
Hello. And welcome to my garage sale. That's what I've been telling all the peoples that have been coming into my house. Buying stuff. I've been giving them a free Miller Lite to lube them up a little bit. You know, grease the wheels, get them to buy some more stuff. What you think about that?
It's a nice touch. It is. The ice is cold. Frankie dropped off an extra block. And I tell you, with 96 calories, what a perfect garage sale beer.
Unbelievable. Fall is garage sale season, too. It is. It absolutely is. So that means, like, we talk about going on boats. Enjoy a Miller Lite at the garage sale this year, okay? How about that? Have a nice Miller Lite, great tasting, less filling, and enjoy the garage sale. Miller Lite, okay? Next time you're getting ready to enjoy cold ones with your friends, make sure you go to MillerLite.com/redline to find the delivery options near you, or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere that they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Is this guitar for sale? Hey, how you doing? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Chicago sports fans. This is Carl.
And Dave.
Chief.
Eddie.
And this is Redline Radio and All Guys No Break Chicago Sports Podcast brought to you by Miller Lite and Barstool Sports Chicago. What's the question on everybody's mind?
Well, there's big news that broke Tuesday night, late Tuesday. Late
you were
Tuesday.
All over it on the blog.
That was the weird. Why did they drop it like that?
Hot
I don't think they wanted to. I think people. Yeah. I think that was like a real scoopage that because the Bears released their thing today. I think someone just found the leak.
Well, and it was also by like Scott Powers, who is a hockey guy. So somehow, like he got.
Actually, did you see Courtney? Our friend Courtney. Courtney who apparently knows somebody who knows somebody, and she tweeted about it hours and hours earlier.
Oh, really?
I swear to God. Yeah, I retweeted her and everything. Yeah.
You had the scoop?
I didn't. A friend of ours did. A girl that Ryan and I have been friends with a few years. But
a long time.
Yeah, she randomly tweeted it. She's like, the Bears are buying. She didn't know any details or anything.
She had it at 8:15 on the 28th.
She like Miller Lite?
She does.
I think so.
Nice.
Yeah. But it was funny. I just thought I'd throw
there
that
you go.
In there.
Yeah. Well, good for her.
Big time breaking news.
Mm-hmm. So they signed the purchase agreement for the Arlington Park racetrack property. No money has actually changed hands yet, but this is like the first real step.
I mean, let's be honest here. Looking down this room, there's nobody in this room that doesn't think this isn't a done deal, right?
I think it's happening.
And you could even tell with some of the statements from Lori Lightfoot being like, well, you know, we just proved that with the Shamrock Series, Notre Dame, Wisconsin was a great venue. We host the Fire. Like, it's still a great venue. And it's so it like she's like, we're committed to like talking to the Bears. But she was like, our door is open. Like, why the fuck would the Bears? Like, you go to the Bears.
Exactly.
Hat in hand. They've already made like you guys have to make the overtures after being dickheads for whoever. 40
Do you
years.
Believe?
I believe that the Bears are out of Soldier Field. The writing's on the wall if you go to Soldier Field. It's a dead body. If Soldier Field was a body, it would be dead.
Tom,
like walking around that place on the concourse. I know Tom had his little fucking shitty New York experience, but...
But is he wrong?
I mean, so if you're walking around Soldier Field, it just smells... It's I don't actually mean it smells. I mean it.
It stinks.
Figuratively smells as if the place is on its last legs. Like the people working there, you just like the energy sucks.
The thing about it too is I know everyone like loves the view. They love the, the drone shot of the city and the lake, and I understand that, and I love it too.
The pillar, the columns.
Columns, you know, but like it's a landmark. I don't think it could go anywhere, right? To my knowledge.
Like, someone told me. You want to like pick up the pillars and move?
No, no, like I don't think like it's, I think it's always just going to be a stadium there, whether it's used by, for the city.
Oh, yeah,
by, like,
yeah.
Whatever.
They'll figure out something. Yeah. Like, yeah, so it's someone, not like, Northwestern will start playing their games there for a season.
They have
like,
to because they're doing the new stadium is, I mean, they're going to have to play there, so.
Everything breaking Pat Ryan's way.
That's going to be next, yeah. But someone tweeted me yesterday, and I cannot confirm this. I looked it up. I Googled it. I did my 2 seconds of research before.
Attaboy.
But someone tweeted me saying that when they did the renovations in 20 years ago or whatever, that they lost landmark status, which makes no sense to me because why, if that's the case, why would they not just go back down to Champaign or whatever for a couple years, raise the place, and start from scratch with the Bears right there? Because the footprint is there. If you can knock everything down, you could put a 100,000-person stadium there with the dome and all that.
Per an article in April 22nd, 2006, Soldier Field loses its landmark status.
So what are we even talking about here? Well, a lot of people are wrong because everybody thinks that that's why they won't
go. Hey, they get rid of those pillars, I'll have a problem.
For national,
you want to pack the Bears up and take them to Arlington Heights, I got no problem. But I want those pillars on Lakeshore Drive.
For national landmarks, we look more for restoration. Spokesman for the National Park Service said this one crossed the line in terms of too much renovation. So they fucked up everything. They did too much renovation, but the renovation sucked. So, and that, do you know how much it cost to do that renovation last time?
I'm going to guess like $150 million
or something.
What?
$600 or something?
$660 million. Yeah. What a mistake.
What would you do, a book report on that?
Well, you know, I followed them. I went to Urbana and back, and I was,
But I don't understand why this is even a talking point if that's the case, because if it's not a landmark, then fucking get rid of it.
Hey, I'll give the McCaskies credit. When AstroTurf was becoming a thing, they put AstroTurf in. When skyboxes were becoming a thing, they fucking loaded up on skyboxes. And now the big thing is having a venue that can host multi-events, 12 months a year, fucking bringing bigger concerts, a Final Four, and it sounds like the McCaskies
Super Bowl
are, you know, another step towards commercializing the venue.
See, the McCaskies, and I'm almost kind of hesitant to even say this because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about when it comes to money, but from everything I gather, they would have to be the ones to finance a new stadium. So everything that's going on with Soldier Field moving to Arlington Heights and the Bears moving to Arlington Heights is more a precursor saying, hey, we locked up this land for a new buyer. Like, that makes the Bears all that much more an attractive option to buy.
George McCaskey has said the opposite, but I mean, we've talked about this many times, but as soon as Virginia dies, nobody in the McCaskey family has enough shares in their own name to be deemed the governor or the majority shareholder. So that distinction will go to Pat Ryan. And that's why I made the comment earlier, everything's turning up Pat Ryan. So that's a huge fucking piece of land. And that we should say the purchase price too, what they got the land for. Do you guys see that?
I didn't see that, no.
It's $197 million. So almost $200 million. Figure another billion to get the stadium built. And Dave, like, you could say that the McCaskies, they're going to be responsible for that, theoretically. But they would probably take on some new investors. But realistically, they just go to a bank. And you pay that off over 40 years and you're fine.
Okay.
So it's not like some big, like, financial... it's not like financially prohibitive for them to
and you got to think, you got it. It's a big land. They're going to be able to put a lot more there. You got to think they're going to take the Tommy Ricketts method, right? They're going to build some shit and they're going to own some shit around the stadium.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, it'll
either.
Be a destination. Come spend the weekend.
Here's where.
Which I like.
Not to make everything about our horse racing group. But this piece of property that they bought, 326 acres. Guess how many acres the new Raider Stadium is?
61, I think you said?
63. So why not just do everything? Keep the track.
A casino, a hotel,
put
a
everything
racetrack.
There and make it like I'm going to Arlington. Put hotels there. I'm going there for the fucking weekend. I got races on Saturday, game on Sunday. Let's fucking go.
Starbucks expanded their menu. They got a little too cute. I like running the T formation with this stuff. I don't want to get too
complicated. You're not a horse guy. You don't appreciate
horses. You guys own a horse. I don't. You guys literally have a horse in the race.
Four horses?
I mean, I don't get it. I don't think that's a,
actually
fine. I got a chance to use that fairly.
But it's not just us. It's that. It's not like we're talking about Hawthorne here.
Like, this Arlington, is a crown jewel. Like,
it's a top five track in the entire world.
And it's a profitable, like, after appreciation. Yeah. Like, they're making money at Arlington. So, like, why wouldn't, while you're, if you're the Bears, and I know fucking, what's his name, Neil, the guy, what?
The Gronk.
No. The guy from Churchill Downs. Like, I think there might be, like, he's connected.
Bob Baffert.
He's connected with
that's Gavin. DeGraw,
it's Churchill Downs and Rivers, and they're all kind of in bed together. So I like that guy. Just he goes around and basically just shuts down tracks all across America. He's killing horse racing. But if you were the Bears, and you're like, hey, like we own Arlington, and we're gonna be spending a shit ton of money. Waiting, we have to spend $84 million to cancel the lease with the city that's run through 2023. Why not just keep some revenue, positive revenue, coming in from your site while you're under construction for your stadium with the track? If you have all that space, it seems like it should make some sense to have at least some
value,
to have some cash flow positive things, like parking and all the other shit that goes into making the racetrack a profitable place. And then maybe gas it up a little bit.
I mean,
so
you
I think
look at Meadowlands. That's exactly what Meadowlands is. They have the – I'm not going to shout them out, but they have the sports book right there. They have the racetrack right there. And they have a brand new fucking stadium right there.
And the Islanders, they're moving into Belmont Park. They're doing the same thing.
Did not know that.
So the Islanders –
the Meadowlands, like fucking – there's like a massive mall right across the street that still has not opened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's like – like look, pictures of that place is like – Do you, and Eddie, you like malls, don't you?
I love malls. Love them. Shops of Woodfield.
Oakbrook is a very good mall.
It is a good mall.
It's a good mall.
Nice Maggiano's there.
So, well, if we do Arlington, let's do a mall. But I do mean that there's going to be retail. You know it's going to be like, if you've been, I took SunTrust Park in the draft, talked a little bit about the experience there. You get just dropped off there. It's like a less authentic version of Wrigleyville. Not everything's going to be like, oh yeah, this bar's been here 100 fucking years, whatever. You're still serving cold ones. I'm still going to have a good time, right? Like, they could do something really cool. Like a Bears
really
Village.
Could.
They could do a Bears Museum. They could have like interactive shit for fans. That, like, to me, Hales Hall is like a fucking, like, maximum security. Like, I feel like there's no fan interaction or engagement. I feel like they come down 8 times a year, play at Soldier Field, pack up, get the fuck out of there.
No more than 8 times. You got to make sure
I wonder what they'll do with Hallis Hall. Like, if because they spent a lot of money on Hallis Hall.
Keep it.
It's supposed to be world class, too, for NFL organizations.
Yeah,
like,
so
one of the best facilities, right?
You don't think that they put
everything. Their commute just got better.
Yeah, Arlington Heights and Lake Forest is what, 30 minutes?
Yeah,
Lake Forest is like, what is it, 40 miles?
Closer.
You think Lake Forest is closer
to Arlington?
Heights.
Fuck yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yeah, Arlington Heights, right, you just got to cut down Lake Cook Road.
Down 41.
90 to Lake Cook, and then just fucking haul ass down. I know this because my
Froggies in Highwood.
It's 38 miles from Hallis Hall to Soldier Field.
But that's just straight highway.
They may not give you the full traffic report. And just quick, I was up at the Ryder Cup, and my buddy was like, hey, I live right off the exit at Lake Cook. So we got off. This is a shout out to Mahoney. And then when we got off, he goes, oh, I thought we got off at 53. Now, if you're local to the area, you know. It was supposed to be a 2-minute detour. It ended up being a 26-minute detour. We love, but when you like a person that much and you laugh and you don't get mad, that's when you know it's a good
positive
friend.
That's a positive.
I like Arlington Heights.
What do you think about the people who are going to be mad at us right now that we're not digging our heels into staying at Soldier Field?
Because there's plenty of meatballs that are doing that right now. There's plenty of people all over the city of Chicago right now.
Not at the Notre Dame Wisconsin game.
Yes.
Because
dude, you couldn't take a fucking piss.
I had to wait. I don't want to wait to piss. No, I had to wait until the third quarter because I tried to go in the second quarter and the Lions and everything. It was everything about Soldier Field is terrible except for like the columns. Like,
United,
you know, like that's it. It has no redeeming qualities.
Other than everything that you can't even see in the stadium, really.
Right.
The views, and it's really pretty with all the parks around it and everything, but come on.
It's one of the shittiest 300 levels. The Bears treat the 300 level people the worst in this city.
Do you? Well, I mean, I haven't been into a Bears game in years just because of this job. Was it like bathroom lines and beer lines like that for Bears games?
I don't remember that actually. This was the worst I've ever seen it at any stadium.
What? Or was there like a bunch of tourists in town who didn't know like the Knicks, well, and the Knicks and the crannies, so they were like too. Fucking clogging shit up.
But, no offense, Notre Dame fans move a little bit slower. They're just a little bit, you know.
Why are you putting it on Notre Dame fans? You don't think it's
those Wisconsin people churn and burn. They know how to order beers and gas them.
I think that they had gassed a few too many in the pregame. So I think that could have been part of the
equation.
It's
Big Ten football for you.
Yeah, it sure is. But I just think that like if you were at that stadium, getting in, getting out, trying to get an Uber. I mean, I had to walk all, you know, past your old apartment, mm-hmm. a few more blocks up, like just to be able to order one to get there. It's just there's nothing convenient about it. It's I love the idea of having a stadium on the lake. It just doesn't work, and it's the smallest stadium in football.
It's bordered by a highway and a lake with museums in between.
Yeah. Two of them.
It's tough.
You don't like the planetarium?
I love it. I love it. That's like been there in years. Quintessential like awesome. Grammar school field trip type deal. But it's just hard. It's just hard. Mm-hmm. The more you get when you're a kid, you take all that shit for granted because you're not fucking.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to personally
pile on the back of the van. You know,
on this one with respect to the Bears going to Arlington, because I would like to talk about the White Sox potentially, maybe hypothetically going to the Soldier Field area. But one, you play 8 games a year there, no more because they don't go to the playoffs because they stink. Two. Logistically, it's just an absolute nightmare getting in and out of that stadium. Three, it's a small, like you, there's nothing.
There's no home field advantage.
You fill that stadium how many times a year? Fill it 12 or 15 times when you include concerts.
God, people are going to be so disappointed in us.
I get the nostalgia factor. They do belong on the lake. They're the team on the lake. It's you know, the stadium on the lake. But economically, it's just not feasible.
I think they might have played more years in Wrigley than they did in Soldier. We don't see people clamoring and putting back in Wrigley. I mean, it's just not a good football stadium. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to. It's just not a good stadium, and they had an opportunity to get it right 20 years ago, and it was like immediately when they opened, everyone's like, "You guys fucked up," and now the Bears, you know, they're looking at other options as they should.
If people want to talk shit to us about our takes, you better fucking spend a lot of time around that stadium. I don't want to hear it from some fucking kid from Schaumburg who's gone down there once in the last 10 years because his uncle fucking won tickets at work. Like, I want to hear from the guys that are parking in the south lot, that are putting up with the fucking bullshit, mm-hmm.
waiting in line
year.
To get into the south lot for an hour.
I
want to
hear from the
tailgate.
People that are in the fucking 300 levels in the 430 section that are like staring into the fucking corporate seats. I want to hear from the guys that have been going to Soldier Field long before they rip the fucking seats out. Mm-hmm. Like, let me hear from the diehards that are unwilling to let go of Soldier Field, because I think those people are few and far between.
I also think that when it's all said and done, if you live in Lincoln Park or, you know, one of these, you know, neighborhoods that are not directly in the South Loop, we'll say, you'll probably be able to go door to door
just as fast.
Exactly.
There's three bars. There's three bars around Soldier Field that you can go to. Kroll's beforehand on 18th.
I do love
which
Kroll's.
Is outstanding. Flo Santos, which is a pizza place, which will overflow instantly, but if mm-hmm. you can get in line there. And then Scout. Three bars. And yeah, I think that's closed, right?
Yeah, okay. It was closed. Correct.
So two locations for literally the most passionate fan base that this city has to offer. Like mm-hmm. the game day, we're going down there. And it's not a good production. So I'm like, now I'm like defending the fact that I know people are going to be disappointed in these takes. But it's from a logistics standpoint, we're older. Now, I'm sure when I was 22 years old, I'd be like, yeah, you fucking fraud. I'm 34 years old. I'm going on 35. I'm trying to buy a house. Yeah. I need to have a good parking situation.
Yeah, we are very much a crew of over 30-year-old men.
Yep.
What about the people who will argue that, okay, you're going to get rid of that, even if that's there, but we're going to trade that for a fucking four, you know, an 18-floor Bar Louie. You know what I mean? Because
that's what
no, they'll do what it comes in, where they're like, we're going to get local. Here's a Big Star. Yeah. Here's a fucking McDonald's.
And it looks like a fucking plane.
Yeah. And it's like $28 because they got to pay the fucking debt service on this $1.2 billion loan we're taking from Wintrust, presumably.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... Like, I don't know.
I'm running into it from both sides right now.
Well, you want the White Sox.
I hate the internet this morning, and recording this on Wednesday, so this will drop tomorrow. But everybody's like, this is the worst fucking take, and nobody even bothered to read what I said. I said the number one thing you would have to do is figure out a way to, and I don't even want to say make it better, perfect the flow of people in and out of the stadium if they hypothetically were to do that. And people are like, no, the White Sox have been at 35th and Shields for 100 years, and I get that. I love Sox Park. It's endearing. We have a ton of fun there. But come on, like Cork and Carries and Turtles and Shinnick's, like you go there and you tailgate. It's great. You can do all that literally, what, 8 minutes away?
Just say you want splash home runs.
I want it to be a destination stadium, and everyone's like, oh, fuck the tour. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like,
but isn't the cons that we use for the Bears, wouldn't that just become cons for the Sox as
you
well?
You did not listen to a fucking thing I just said.
I read your blog, you idiot. Yes, I did.
I just said thing you would have to do is perfect the
what
flow.
Can you perfect, Dave? There's a fucking lake in a fucking Lakeshore Drive highway.
You'd
right
have to build
to
another
you
bridge at 16.
Yes, you don't give.
You'd have to throw in big money.
Oh, okay, that's not happening.
Yeah, I said this is never in a million years going to happen, anyways. But if it some way somehow could, that would be fucking incredible for the White Sox. Like to have a state of the art stadium that is a spectacle that you see on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and it's like, holy fuck,
the next
look
owner.
At that view.
Not Jerry,
but
the next
that's
owner.
The thing. So their stadium lease expires 2029, which is right lockstep with the Soldier
Field.
Jerry's
presumed death.
That too. He's going to be 86 in 4 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be looking to sell.
Yep.
They obviously have their sweetheart deal, but that's up in 8 seasons. It makes sense if they can perfect, like, I don't know, people were talking about a moving walkway from 18th Street and 16th Street. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a way to do it, and I don't think anybody's given our civil engineers in this city and otherwise enough credit, but there is a way to do
Who's
it.
Who's your favorite general contractor? Walsh?
I don't fucking know. I don't even know what you're talking about. But the point is that... Once the Athletics move to Las Vegas, and once the Rays get a new stadium or move out of Tampa, the White Sox are going to have the fourth oldest stadium in all of baseball. And I don't even include Tampa because they're a newer franchise from the mid-90s or whatever. But that's just a fact. Like, you look at Atlanta, they built Turner Field after Comiskey Park 2 was built. And they already have a new stadium. It's gonna be necessary eventually. So what are you gonna do with it? Are you gonna just put it on Lot B, like where old Comiskey was? No. Whoever's buying it, which is gonna be happening soon because Jerry Reinsdorf is 86, is gonna be looking to build their own stadium where they want it, and that's the where else could you possibly put it? Tinley Park.
I bet you they would get a pretty good deal from the city because they'll be like, we're wasting this land, but. I also think the other point that I don't know if you said this in your blog or not. I haven't read it yet. I apologize. It's not going to be 60,000 people.
That's the other thing.
You know,
that's
so
you're
going
to meet less people.
Right.
It should be more
manageable than for a Bears game.
Exactly. Exactamundo. Like my Google mapping last night. I'm trying to overlay current Sox Park onto the Waldron deck, and my brain says it's doable. Obviously, that's just
Dave,
me doing it.
I don't want splash balls, but it would be sweet to have balls like the concourse where you like to hang out now.
Mm-hmm.
Have that be the pillars. Imagine a home run like Eloy hitting bombs off the pillars. Like, that would be sick.
It'd be sick.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get more trouble for this White Sox take than
because
we are for our Bears take.
We were.
Like, I think Meatloaf and Ken Wall are going to be coming for you. Or Beefloaf and the boys are going to be like.
It's so split down the middle. Like, people who. like, I was talking to Danny, our little twink intern, about this earlier. Jeez. And there's just, like, and you get it from where you're
social
from. He gets
Dan,
it where
not
where
the actual intern.
Yeah, where, because now we have an intern, from. Dan, that may not take that joke.
Yes. Who the fuck is Lance?
I do like the name Lance.
Well Lance is spelled different.
I don't think you were here for this, but on Friday, we got a text with Lance is here. Eddie was like,
it's like Lance is driving us.
Eddie sent the text being like, hey, like Lance is going to be, you know, we're doing the thing with the car ride down to the game. And Dave's sitting on the couch over there going like, who the fuck is Lance?
If that would have been said out loud, I would have known exactly, but it was spelled L-A-N-T-Z. And
which is
I,
how you spell his name.
Yeah, but
I
like,
understand that.
Phonetically,
I
Lance
up.
Is someone in the Barstool universe. It's like a name,
when
right?
he said Lance, I assumed it was L-A-N-C-E. So if I would have heard it, I would have known immediately, but I saw the spelling, and that threw me off. That's all it was.
I think all of us went through that with this kid.
Yeah, he said that you wrote
he's
L-A-N-C-E in a blog.
I did?
No, Carl.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been calling him, and I told him, I said, I apologize, mm-hmm. but I learned your name is Lance.
Right.
So there's no going back to Lance.
Yeah. I don't, no offense to Lance, I don't really like the name Lance, so I was like, why aren't we just calling him by his first name? And it's like, well, his first name's Danny. I'm like, well, I guess he has to be Lance.
Oh, we're not doing two Dannys,
right?
No,
exactly.
There's no wrong with two Dannys.
Dave, I'm sorry for calling you a barf encrusted jumbo jerk. I apologize.
But that's
what about Lance a lot?
My entire and I was gonna say, but like, there's so many people so fucking hell bent on keeping the stadium exactly where it is and having zero change. It's like, dude, who gives a fuck if it's a mile? What? How far is Soldier Field from Sox Park right now? 2 miles, maybe.
Nah, but that's a long 2 miles.
Not really, though.
And it's not. It's closer to like 3.5, 4.
I mean, that's all semantics.
You know what you need to do, Dave?
Like, oh, it belongs there. I'm like, I'd rather go to. I tell you this.
35th Street doesn't have to involve the Jane Byrne Exchange. So
it's
you
five
save
miles
all on, that.
It's 3.1 miles.
That's covered. Like, that's like a threshold.
I don't know
for
what
people.
Happened here. Dave, if people are getting to you, you know what you should tell them to enjoy and indulge in?
Some Three Chi?
You're correct.
What? Tell me all about Three Chi.
Three Chi.
Federally legal, bro.
Delta
8?
8.
It's correct. Delta 8. It's federally legal. It ships to everywhere in the United States. There is nothing better than getting home from a stressful day of dealing with you cocksuckers. Sitting down, turning on White Sox baseball, having a gummy, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four.
Jesus.
And just, you know, sitting there nice and mellow, zeroed in on that fucking game. And that's how we roll, Ed.
There you go. It's available online at 3chi.com and retailers all across the country. Must be 21 to purchase. And remember, this is not CBD. It is psychoactive. It will give you a buzz. So please use responsibly. Use code Chicago at checkout. Receive 5% off your order. Again, go to 3chi.com to shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3chi. You guys know the drill by now.
The Skittles are nice. The root beer taffy is nice. And those little disposable vapes, also nice. Those are new products. So if you haven't tried those, definitely go
I haven't tried the root beer taffy yet. I'm going to have to give that
root
a whirl tonight.
Root beer taffy. All right. We are now joined on Zoom. Chris Castellani, Barstool, Detroit. Chris, sorry. We went a little long talking about the Bears that might move to Arlington. You guys got a newish stadium in Ford Field, right? You're a Lions guy, right? I believe.
Yeah. I mean, newish. I mean, it's been around. We're coming up. It's coming up close to 20 years. Yeah.
Is it really? It
that's
seems
crazy.
So much nicer than Soldier Field, and if they're about the same age, that's disappointing.
Well, ours was a reno. Theirs was a complete.
You know what else I like about Ford Field and stadiums that have this feature? The dome features or the dome stadiums that have natural light getting in there. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that touch.
Nice. So are there a lot of Fords up there parked in the parking lot? Is there a lot like at Ford Field? Is there like a special parking lot for the Fords? What's the atmosphere like at Ford Field, Chris?
I mean, the atmosphere is so considering the fact that the team there is shite. I mean, it's like in general, it's a good atmosphere for the most part. It's a really good stadium. Like it's pretty top notch considering, you know. Which I think for the most part, pretty much most of the arenas and ballparks in Detroit are that way. But no, I mean, it's been a while since I've been there. General belief is that it's an average atmosphere that could be a lot better if, you know, they haven't played a playoff game there ever. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell exactly what the atmosphere is exactly
like. That's
tough. Like
that's
the
tough.
They don't play many big games there.
Also, I haven't lost a playoff game at home. So
yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
Undefeated. Yep.
Chris, I've been dying to have you on because I think you would provide a unique perspective here because you're such a Tigers fan. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're Big Ten guys. And obviously, the Bears play the Lions this weekend. I kind of want to start it off here with you and White Sox, Dave, a meeting of the minds here. Two diehard baseball AL Central guys. Okay. Let's start with the situation that's brewing between the White Sox and the Tigers. I saw you wrote a La Russa blog. Give it to us.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, look, the situation itself to me was a lot of much ado about nothing. I don't begrudge Abreu for getting upset about it. I mean, look, the White Sox are playing for something, man. They ran away with the Central. Getting hit by a baseball doesn't feel good. And getting hit by a baseball at 97 feels even worse. The slide was whatever. The only thing I took umbrage with was La Russa after the game saying that the Tigers have a problem when people play aggressively and that the Tigers are another team that stretches the limits by pitching inside. They don't have a reputation of that. I also don't buy into the whole idea of like, well, if you can't pitch inside, don't do it. Like, why? I mean, you got to do what you can to win the game and execute your pitches. It was much ado about nothing to me until then. These are two teams that have played each other a bunch. They played each other 16 times this year. They're going to play three more to end the season on the South Side in Chicago. I think to a certain extent, there is some frustration. That was the makeup game of a three-game series in which the Tigers had won the first two. The White Sox are significantly more talented than the Tigers are. And I feel like there's a little bit of frustration on their end, feeling like this is a team that should not be giving them as hard a time as they were. So, I mean, it was a strange situation. One of those end of the year scuffles that kind of amounted to not much. But the only real issue I had was the claim that, you know, there was some intent or that the Tigers had some issue with guys who play aggressively. I don't think that's the case. I think if there was an issue, AJ would have talked about it. And, you know, he kind of put the kibosh on it after the game.
AJ's so much more polished in the media when it comes to just speaking to the media in general than Tony La Russa. Like, I watched both of their pressers afterwards, and I didn't think that neither said anything wrong. I just think that Tony La Russa is of such the old school mindset that there's just nothing you can do to change his ways. So, as someone, how old are you, Chris?
26.
Okay, so yeah, you're close enough, but I feel like there's such a gap between 32, which is what I am, and like 22, obviously 10 years, but like I grew up seeing the old school style of baseball more than someone who's 10 years younger would have, is what I'm getting at. But and so I understand where he was coming from, because just that's how guys like that are wired. Like you saw Jim Leland went to a couple World Series, or what was it, one or two?
It was two. They won one game, but they played in two World Series.
Two World Series of Jim Leland, one of my all-time favorite baseball people in general. Like, you know that if, like, he were the manager of the White Sox right now, he would have been given the exact same thing. So, like, I got it. And like you said, I haven't even really thought about all of this shit in the last couple of days since it happened, because it is a whole lot of nothing. But I didn't disagree with what any manager said. I could look at it from 30,000 feet and see it from both perspectives. Jose Abreu's fucking sick. He's gotten plunked 20-some times this year. We talked about that on Monday or Tuesday episode. And I didn't think his slide was dirty. It was just like a slide that was supposed to send a message saying, hey, motherfuckers, if you can't pitch in, then don't do it, because I'm sick of getting fucking hit. He didn't slide nails up. You know, he didn't, you know, clip Goodrum with his feet or anything. It was just being a statement saying, hey, cut the shit if you can't make it work. Like, throw me outside then. I know you don't want to leave anything over the plate, so I piss all over it, but don't pitch inside and fucking drill me if you can't physically do it. So I thought it was completely fine, and I understand why Goodrum would have been pissed. He didn't have anything to do with it. So, like, I understand both sides, and I don't even know why it's being talked about a couple days later, personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's a baseball play. It's an aggressive baseball play. But it's not, you know, it's not Chase Utley breaking Ruben Tejada's leg.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
It was past the bag. It was what it was. You know, they'll play each other again in a few days, and, you know, the White Sox still have a lot to play for. So, yeah, I didn't take a whole lot out of it.
Chris, given that you've seen a lot of these American League teams many times over, where do you have the ranks with the White Sox? Where do you have them as far as it goes?
Look, I think in terms of talent, they are, you know, easily up there. I have some question marks about the injuries. Lance Lynn in the latter part of the year has not been where he had been in the first half. Rodon is one that really worries me. I mean, Rodon earlier in the year, you know, he threw almost through a perfect game, did throw a no-hitter, took another one into the seventh against the Tigers, a couple starts ago against Detroit. Velocity seemed down, stuff didn't seem as sharp. I think that if their rotation holds, we're talking about a team that kind of similar to what the Tigers did in the early 2010s that can make a run to the World Series. What is weird to me is that I feel like their offense should be better than it is. Like, Anderson's great. I think Luis Robert has an MVP, probably a multiple MVP kind of ceiling. That dude is an absolute animal. But beyond that, Jimenez has been underwhelming to me. Been a little bit better lately. Moncada has had a four WAR season, but to me, that's another guy with MVP potential. It seems like when they've played really good pitching, they've been struggling a little bit. The bullpen, even with Kimbrel struggles, I'm not super worried about that. That bullpen's deep enough that they can be able to figure itself out. I would say, like, that first round matchup likely against the Astros is going to be really tough, because I think that's a team that they match up tough against because they have a deep rotation, you know, with McCullers and Valdez and Urquidy and Greinke if he comes off the IL. So, look, this is as wide open in American League as we've seen in a decade. I mean, there's not a 2018 Red Sox here. There's not a 2015 Royals, a team that's just going to kind of roll through the whole thing. I could see any of the five teams that are going to make it going to the World Series. I think they all have strengths. I think they all have flaws. Their chance is as good as any, though. It's a good team. It's a remarkably talented team, but it's also a team that doesn't have a ton of experience either. Last year, they played three games in the wild card round. That's going to be a different animal than playing in full ballparks in the ALDS against teams like the Astros or like the Rays that have made it to and played in World Series over the last several seasons. So they're going to have a shot, but I just I don't know how deep they'll go.
Yeah, I think you nailed everything you said right there, other than I will disagree with saying that the experiencing is going to play a factor. I think, and this is a quote that I've said on this podcast 1,000 times, and it's one of my favorite quotes ever when people want to talk about playoff experience. Jim Leland said it himself. I prefer talent over experience any day of the week. Yep. And that's how I look at it. And people, especially Yankees fans, because I troll them, but that's a little different. But when you look at the White Sox – with an unbiased view, you look at everything you just said. The talent is absolutely there, and they've won 3 in a row and looked really, really fucking good the last few days. Starting pitching, bullpen, lineup, they're all fucking clicking at the perfect time. And I've said, hey, if this team clicks, injuries, they're going to get healthy right before the playoffs start. If it clicks, they can win the World Series. And I don't think that's a crazy take at all. Like you said, there isn't some superpower team like the 2018 Red Sox. So I couldn't agree more with anything you said. And everyone's like, they're going to have a first-round exit. They might very well have a first-round exit. They might very well win the World Series, at least go to the World Series. So it's not a crazy take, especially if you watch this team. You see Luis Robert, like you said. I've never seen someone with as much talent as he, and I'm talking even more than Frank Thomas. As a total package skill set. Frank Thomas is one of the greatest hitters ever. That's all he did. Luis Robert plays in a Gold Glove center field. He doesn't strike out anymore. He's got almost a sub 20% K rate at this point. Eloy, he did scuffle a little bit. It wasn't striking out. He was just beating the ball into the ground, which tells me it's not an approach thing as much as a mechanical adjustment that he needs to make. So we've seen him hit a couple home runs in the last few games. He's looking better. Mankata, 4 wins above replacement. I understand that's great, and there's value with what they're paying him, blah, blah, blah. He's leaving shit on the table there's a lot more to be desired there. And
it's weird because I remember 2 years ago thinking, I think he had almost a 6 WAR season.
Season, 25 bombs.
I remember thinking he's going to be getting MVP votes soon, and he hasn't quite matched that. Injuries last year had something to do with it, but this year it's kind of you're waiting for that big explosion, and it hasn't quite been.
It hasn't happened for him this year, and hopefully, we saw it already. We've seen it in the 2019 season that it is within his abilities to absolutely go on offensive tears, and he just hasn't done that this year. And hopefully that happens during the playoffs. If he's hitting 6 in the playoffs, you go Anderson to Robert to Abreu to Eloy to Grandal to Mankata, That if he's hitting like he's capable of, that that's a fucking lethal lineup. It's lethal.
Yeah.
And but if you, I mean, we'll talk about the Tigers next. I guess I've said this for, I said back in May because the Tigers started the season like complete dog shit. What were, was the record after the first 30 games or so? Like 10-20.
They were 9-24 on May.
Okay, yeah. It was very bad. But the White Sox played it was early May series, maybe mid May. And I was at a couple of the games. I remember I was like, this Tigers team is pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
like they're not, they're far from being complete, but I'm like these guys got some fucking players, and they're gonna be a pain in the ass more than any other team in the AL Central for the White Sox in the coming years.
Well, it lines up well because I feel like the Royals are still rebuilding. You know, they've been good, but I always have a hard time believing in the Twins because of the payroll and because of the fact they haven't won a playoff game since W was president. But I mean, Cleveland's rebuilding as well. I mean, with Detroit, I think AJ's done a marvelous job this year. I think that to make a Chicago comparison, I think the Tigers right now are similar to where you guys were in 19.
Yes, exactly.
And where the Cubs were in 2014, which is, I'm not going to call them good, but there is an ascension. It's not bottom feeding anymore. You see Baidu and Mize and Manning and Skubal and Haas and some of these young guys that have come up. You know Torkelson's going to be here next year. Riley Green's going to be here next year. Those are two of the top 10 prospects in all of baseball. Torkelson, number one overall pick in the draft in 2020. You see an outlook of a team that could be, you know, potentially playoff bound with the right moves go even next year. Now, they're going to have to catch some breaks. But the one thing that the Cubs did after 14 – and that you guys did to a certain extent as well. For 19, you spent money. And did all those moves work? No, I mean, Encarnacion wasn't great, but and Keuchel's been whatever, but you got Grandal, I believe, after that,
and he's a freak, yeah.
After that season. The Cubs went out, got Lester. This has got to be a move. This has got to be an offseason where, first of all, you got to sign a fucking shortstop. I mean, that's like the end all. They have, if you tried, you couldn't put out a worse batch of shortstops than they put out this year. I mean, there's like, it's crazy just how mediocre to bad they've been since, Jose Iglesias wasn't a world beater, but at least he was a two war player. He was the last good shortstop that they had. And this is the greatest shortstop class of free agents that we've ever seen. It's that, Correa, Story, and Seager, Semien, who's put up
Baez,
a seven
even if you want to go that route.
Yeah. I mean, the opportunities are there. There's been a lot of rumblings, and I kind of believe this, that, you know, with two spots available in the rotation, they'll go with the sentimental pick, bring Verlander back in a one-year deal. And, hey, you know what? For his swan song, that's great. If that's all they do, then
that's stupid. I'm looking at their financial outlook. So prior to arbitration, which will add, I don't know, just call it $30 million to this number, they are only committed to $44.5 million to payroll next year.
Right.
So they have a fuck ton of money to work with. Obviously, he passed away, but previous ownership has spent on a lot of players before. I couldn't believe when I saw that Cabrera still had three more years on top of this year, through 2025 at $32 face. Million a year.
His face.
That is wild. they've showed they will drop 200 plus million on a player multiple times prior to this year. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't know what new ownership's going to do, but
yeah. That's a big question mark.
There's five fucking premier shortstops if you include Baez in that group, which he's been awesome for the Mets. And the supply of great shortstops is outweighing the demand for the great shortstop, I feel like.
Right.
So the Tigers could absolutely end up with someone like a Corey Seager or Carlos Correa. Why the fuck couldn't they, you know?
It seems like the likeliest option because of the hinge connection would be Correa. You're right. This is the big mystery box, though, because this ownership group has not shown how willing or unwilling they are to spend. And that's what kind of scares people right now, because I feel like the core is there. I mean, the way it was there.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's going to, like
you
I said,
got,
it's going to be a pain in the
that
ass.
Roster with talent.
I would love for the Tigers to get good and for you guys to hate each other.
That'd be great with me. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That's what sports are all about, is loving your team and hating others.
I said that after Hinch was hired. I was like, man, I'm glad about this because I'm looking forward to people hating the Tigers again. Tigers have been the most likable team in baseball for the last 4 years because everyone beats the shit out of them. It's like, for once, like that's little, you know, benches clearing altercation the other day. It was like, all right, cool. Maybe we're getting under some people's skin finally. I mean, it's not like we're, you know, we're not going 1-18 against the Indians like we did 2 years
who,
ago.
Who do you hate in the AL Central? Because I have my answer for this, but I want to hear yours. Like, what team
you
do
you fucking
hate?
You know what's a weird
hate?
One? I mean, look, I the one that stands out weirdly to me, I don't know why, and I don't hate them, is the Royals, because of all the team, every team since the Tigers won the World Series in 1984, every other team in the AL Central has won a World Series. Twins did it twice, right? Except for Cleveland. Right?
Yeah.
The Royals stand out because, like, the Tigers, just, and it's a petty reason, the Tigers for 10 years spent a ton of money. They signed a ton of good players. They had Hall of Famers, Cy Young winners. They had two of the top three pitchers of a generation in their prime on the same team and didn't win a World Series. And the Royals, who spend, like, you know, the amount of money that you use to, like, buy a fucking candy bar on players, went out and won a World Series with this, like, you know, kind of ragtag bunch. Great team, deserved to win. That one just, that one gets under my skin. Because, like, you guys winning it in 05, yeah, that was a great team. Great pitching staff, you know, well-managed bunch. Cleveland having their run, you know, Francona did a great job, had great pitching. But the Royals, like, that. And Salvador Perez, like, he's got 47 home runs. I'm pretty sure 28 of them came against the Tigers this year. Like, I mean, that,
he
that
hit
just,
a bunch against the Sox,
there's individual
too.
Players that they have that just murder us, that get under my
he
skin.
He hit a ball, I think it was 462 feet to right field against the Sox, like, 10 days ago. It's the farthest ball I've ever seen hit Oppo. But, like,
if he walked one more time a week, he'd probably be.
I asked that question because it's always cyclical for me. So, like, as far as pro sports teams in Chicago, Bears fucking hate the Packers. Cubs fucking hate the Cardinals. The Bulls in Detroit, the Hawks and Detroit, they fucking hate each other. I know hockey's different because of different conferences now, but there's always a natural rival. For White Sox, it's cyclical to me. Like, I hated the Twins until 2010 because Joe Mauer, Justin Morneau, the Piranhas, as Ozzie Guillen called them, they were just, I'm like, fuck this fucking team. I hated the Tigers when Kenny Rogers was there and they were going to World Series. I absolutely loathed Maglio Ordóñez because I thought he was a traitor. But not, like, it's always, there's no natural rival. I would love a rival. Like, I would love for the next 50 years of my life to absolutely hate the Tigers.
I love hating people.
I love hating people. I hate the Cubs for baseball and the Yankees, but even a few years ago, I didn't give a shit about the Yankees. I hated the Red Sox more because their fans were mean to me on the internet. So, I would love to hate the Tigers.
Hopefully we'll get there.
So, the White Sox, they're going to be in the driver's seat again next year. I think it's going to be a one more year transition period for Detroit. Then come 2023, it's going to be neck and neck with White Sox and Tigers. They're going to be fucking good. And Torkelson, I'm not looking forward to facing him 19 times a year as a White Sox fan. He's going
to
be a
fucking
freak.
I'm with you. I would say wild card to me is the goal next year. I would say it's because really.
I think that's realistic. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you guys ran away with the division this year. It's also worth noting you had a lot of bad luck. I mean, Jimenez and Robert missing the time that they did.
I added it up yesterday. Jimenez, Robert, Grandal, and then Magical prior to the deadline missed over 250 games between the four of those guys alone. Ooh.
Yeah, that won't.
That doesn't even
include
multiple IL stints for Anderson. Kopech missed 5-6 weeks. Like, it's been bad. If they would have, the White Sox would have won close to 100 games if they had this exact roster right now all year.
Yeah, you're right.
Worst division.
What are we? Where are we at in the Lions, Chris? Are we? What's the enthusiasm? You know,
I have very little enthusiasm about the Lions, but I always do. That's the tough angle for me is, like, I find the Detroit Lions in general to be incredibly boring. Like, I just, the way, like, the Tigers, and that's kind of hypocritical coming from a guy who watched every game of 114 lost Tiger season a couple years ago. But, like, the Lions have to, I'm a masochist, but
I'd be the same way.
I think it's going to be 2 or 3 years before they build this thing up again. I have no ill will or hard feelings towards Dan Campbell. Seems like a great guy. I have serious question marks about how he'll do as a coach. And it has nothing to do with the rhetoric. I think people are putting a big, you know, a big deal about that. That's whatever. He's never been a coach before. I mean, he was an assistant head coach and a tight ends coach in New Orleans. It's a big jump. Brad Holmes, I like as the GM. He got the Stafford trade right. I'll give him that. And Stafford's going to have an awesome year. He is having an awesome year. That's no surprise at all. I mean, Stafford was never the problem.
We're Stafford fans in this.
Yeah, we like Stafford.
Yeah, no, I always liked him too. I mean,
are you rooting for him in LA?
I am. Yeah, there's this huge, huge like debate divide on Detroit Twitter where it's like either if you root for them, then you're rooting against. I don't. Who gives a shit? I hope he wins. I think it'd be great if he won. You know, if he doesn't. Okay.
It's not like he held out and said, fuck this team. Like, unless you pay me $1 billion, I'm leaving. He got traded.
Obviously, sacrificed the prime of his career to play for what is the least successful franchise in all of sports. Like, and his body took a beating, played injured in meaningless games. I love the way he handled himself here. As for the current regime, it's not a good team. Last week, they lost in about as spectacular fashion as you can lose with a 66-yard field goal off the crossbar after giving up a 4th and 19.
Wild.
I think this week is a good measuring stick for them. Where like I don't see this team winning more than 5 games. I don't.
Okay.
This week will be one where it's like if you're not getting past this hurdle, then all of a sudden those five wins become 2 or 3. You know, because I think that this is a team that is relatively their equal. And we'll see how well they match up. But this is a football town, but it's hard for me to get super enthusiastic about it just because I know, you know, it'll be 2 or 3 more years, and that'll be 2 more years removed from their last playoff victory, which was 4 years before I was born. So I mean, it's hard to get like super, super, you know, invested in it when you haven't seen much success come from that organization.
Yeah, and that's like a very optimistic view. 2 to 3 years to be hiring a new coach.
I'm trying.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it feel like people are like stopping being fans? Like, is there any of that?
No. Apathy. And that's what's weird to me is like, there's, you know, with the Tigers, I got it. I mean, you know, they were the worst team in the world for 4 years, you know, lost, you know, like I said, 114, it's 114 bad days 2 years ago. No, man, I think the big reason for that is general belief is people just like Dan Campbell. I mean, whatever you feel about, with the job he's going to do, he's such a likable personality that it's gotten people to go to the games. And you do have, with any new coach, sort of an influx of people who are curious about how the team is going to look. So I don't see it. It'll be a few years before it turns into kind of a 2008, like Rod Marinelli situation where games are getting blacked out and people just aren't going to the games anymore. I don't see that happening for a minute because I think that there is patience with the new regime that people are willing to put up with. But no, I mean, they've been loyal from the beginning. I mean, it's bizarre to me considering, you know, the lack of success, but I don't think that there's been any sort of divide or people who are avoiding watching the team.
Where are you with the Red Wings?
I'm not a huge hockey guy, but okay. I will say in the general belief around the city seems to be that of the 4 rebuilding teams, they're the one right now with the highest ceiling. You could maybe argue with Cade Cunningham coming to the Pistons that they may reach that. But Steve Yzerman was such a huge deal getting him to come here. I mean, it was very similar, honestly, and even more so just because of the local connection of like when Theo Epstein came to the Cubs. And it's like, wow, okay, you know what? We got our guy. We got the guy who knows how to build this thing. We got a guy who's done it for other teams. And obviously he played in Detroit. I mean, it was a huge deal when he came here. Again, fan base is really patient. You got to be patient with the Red Wings because they had basically a 20-year run of success where it's like it's hard to complain as a fan and talk. You know, they won 4 cups. I mean,
I think they made the playoffs 30 years in a row.
Just because you missed 3 years in a row now, it's like you can't. Yeah. It's hard to really complain about it. Mm-hmm. People believe in Yzerman. They believe in the Yzer plan, and a lot of other people do, regardless of, you know, the bad luck they've had in the draft lottery.
Horrendous. And
people are excited for the move about the moves they've made. Mm-hmm. They're happy with the trades. I think that there's of the 4 teams in Detroit right now, that's the one I feel like that has the most optimism currently about where they're potentially headed because of the pedigree of the guy who runs the team right now.
This would be a nice year for them to get that lottery luck turned around because they have like that.
Hopefully,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But okay, yeah. I was just wondering because I'm the Hawks guy and they're playing tonight and the league is better when the Wings are good. So I was hoping that what you said that people locally are buying it.
Yeah, general belief seems to be they're going to get there pretty soon.
Good.
Yeah.
And then Wolverine's big game this weekend.
Yeah. Hopefully they show up this time. I mean the last 2 times they've played Wisconsin. Last week, I think they forgot the game started because what it was like 38-11. And you know, the Wisconsin drove down the field and Milton threw an interception first play of the game and it was over. And then the year before, I think it was 35-14. This is going to be a weird game. It's going to be a weird game because in ways, I feel like it's unfavorable almost for both teams because Harbaugh's offense is hum when they run the ball really well and get the ball to the edges. Well, Wisconsin's got a really good rush defense. Michigan's front seven is really good defensively. I think Aiden Hutchinson is the best player on almost any field he steps on. Wisconsin's bread and butter typically is they have a huge offensive line and they run the ball really well. They have not so far this season. Now, Michigan, I think, is vulnerable the most in the secondary outside of Daxton Hill. I don't have a ton of faith in their DBs. But in a way, that's almost advantage Michigan because I think it's what it's going to come down to is that one of these two quarterbacks is going to have to make a couple throws. I mean, between Mertz and McNamara. And outside of one half against Rutgers last year for Cade and outside of one game against Illinois last year for Mertz, neither one of these guys has really shown that they can consistently, you know, get the ball to their receivers and make plays with their arms. So I would expect it to be a low-scoring game. I don't foresee it being the dominant blowout that it's been over the last several years. But, I mean, Michigan had four straight three and outs and had 33 yards of offense against Rutgers in the second half last week. So it's hard for me to have a ton of confidence currently in the current regime, given the way things went last year and the way things went last week. But it's a huge game. I mean, the expectations for both these teams are going to completely change based on what the results of this game is.
You know, when I feel bad about Chicago sports, I'm just going to remember Chris.
He said all four were building.
If I really want to make you feel bad, you know, hopefully you're buying into the Piston season ticket package because at all angles, you're fucked, buddy.
It's been, you know what? You know what's sad, though? Right now is the most optimistic it's been in 3-4 years. Like 2 years ago when, you know, like nobody, the Lions were never going anywhere. But when the Red Wings were at the you know, the doldrums of hockey. The Tigers had the worst team in baseball. The Pistons were middling, you know, outside of Blake Griffin playing an entire year on one leg. I mean, they've had nothing interesting in the last 13 years. So, I mean, there is slightly more optimism now than there's been in several years. But, no, I implore anyone to find a worse 3-4-year stretch of any city that has four major sports teams than what Detroit's had from 17 to 20. I mean, that every team has been bad. The you know how bad it was? The best hope for the city for a short time was the Lions, a team that in their 63-year existence has won one playoff game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's things are slowly getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Not by much.
Well, Phoenix has rise from the ashes, so stay strong because and you getting hired, too, amidst this fucking horrid stretch for Detroit sports. Like, no, you know what? Let's get a Detroit guy going. Like, I think that's a sign. That's a sign. You're going to be – you're on the ground floor, Chris. Keep that in mind, bud.
It's so ironic because, like, I got hired right after Spencer Turnbull threw the no-hitter, and I was so excited about that, right? And that's the reason for that. It was literally the first, oh, my God, we have a pulse moment in Detroit sports in 3 years. I mean, it was like – that's what I said when it happened. I was like, wow, a good thing actually happened to the Tigers. This is brand new to me. I don't know what this feels like. So it's – yeah. No, I know. I've definitely thought about that. I hope that as time goes on that I'm working here that things start to be turned around and I can have – more exciting stuff to write about, but you know, with Cade getting drafted and stuff like that, it does seem like there's been, you know, a slight, you know, uphill that this city's going
on. An upswing. Positive vibes.
I hope so. I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Well, that video was an unbelievable video. That the good thing happened, and it was just the how you got hired. It was unbelievable,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's a story I'll tell forever.
But no, dude. Thanks for jumping on, talking some Detroit, Chicago sports, and I guess, you know, in a time of darkness here, a lot of people are very upset about the Bears. Like, you had Chris to cheer us up a little bit about how it could be worse.
Misery loves company.
You can look at me for that. I will be happy to provide you with that. But no, you guys are the best, man. And next time I'm in Chicago, I'll definitely hit you guys
up. Yeah, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Let's talk more, man. Let's talk more. See you, Chris.
Yep, great seeing you guys.
Can I get a Detroit sucks chant, Ed?
No, I can't do that to Chris. I can't.
Oh, my buddy. Thank you, guys. I'll see you around.
See you, Chris. See you, man. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Now, I had asked Chris about if there were a lot of Fords in the parking lot. I was going to take this a certain place because I hope there's not because Ford sucks because I love Chevy. Chevy drives Chicago. The service, the dealers across Chicago. It's the number one car brand across the city for a reason. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at the fleet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting real worked up here, guys. This is a great fucking fleet. But the service, the reliability, the trust –
from ChevyDriveChicago.com is
That's where you find it. You got to take your car, and winter's here. This is the time to get your fucking car right for the winter. Get that oil change, get the brakes checked, get the tires rotated. You go to ChevyDriveChicago.com, find the dealer nearest you, and they'll be able to take care of all your service needs.
Chevy Drive Chicago, man. They're the spot to go. You're right. I mean, it's just, why go to a place that's untrustworthy? So I know Chevy Land.
You probably got Chevy, a few you can do. Untrustworthy mechanical car stories, I bet, don't you, Ed?
You know, I have a good place, and I use Chevy as well, so it's a good balance. So.
I'm on it right now. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Locate dealer, top right of the screen. The options are unbelievable here, guys. You won't believe, because you see a lot of Chevys. You see the dealers. But I challenge you to go locate a dealer. You'll be blown away with how many options there are.
Beautiful.
ChevyDriveChicago.com.
There you go. And honestly, Chris, you know, he really does kind of – that's tough, man.
I mean, he's absolutely right, too. That four-year stretch is just –
he literally looks like he's being held hostage.
Right.
I don't want to say it, but honestly, we got to send out a search party for this kid.
He's such a diehard.
He is such a diehard, yeah. And he seemed chipper. If I were in his position, I would not be there.
Well, things are looking up, he said. Hope you know, so. Sounds like the Tigers, you know, wild card next year.
What's that Red and Andy Dufresne quote? Hope.
Hope is a great thing. Maybe the best of things.
Maybe the best of things.
And yeah. I thought he said it was the most dangerous thing.
No, it's the best of things. And that's the other thing that is just funny about that stretch is, like, he referenced the Red Wings not having any lottery luck. Well, like, they probably should have had the number one pick, like, three times and didn't. But, mm-hmm. The Lions are always in the picking in the top five. They said the Tigers, they drafted some kid number one overall, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's how bad it is that basically every team in your city has had the number one pick because Cade Cunningham went to the Pistons. That has to be a record. That's pathetic.
I can't. What?
Dave, you literally said
that. I can't remember one.
What
was that sound?
Dave, you sent that Shawshank gift to me last night.
I did, yeah. That's what I was
thinking.
Hope
is a dangerous
it.
Thing. Yeah. Hope can drive a man
insane.
That was Red.
That was Red, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the line. Hope's dangerous, bro.
But
Andy said, you're hopeless.
Andy in the letter says hope is...
Chief, so you both of you are correct, yes.
Yeah.
I was talking about the scene right before he broke out, but...
I thought you were going to say he's incorrect and you were going to call him a thick-skulled moron.
Please. No. Shut up.
Call him a thick-skulled moron, Dave.
You haven't said that in a while.
You have to cross a certain line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you need the long snapper out there. You need a good hole. Dave needs to be lined up for that one perfectly. It just doesn't come out of nowhere.
Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies.
Yeah.
That's the quote.
All right. Well, I watched my football team send the long snappers out. I'm not joking. If the Bears and the University of Illinois announced captains for next week and they just sent out the fucking long snappers for how many times they had to go out and snap this past week, I'd applaud the effort.
Getting their steps in.
Honestly, we're going to be like, these two guys executed their jobs 28 times flawlessly.
Was that the actual number?
No, the total number of punts between two teams, I think, was 22.
That's still a fuck ton.
Along with six.
And there wasn't a single bad snap?
Field goals. So 28 snaps.
Who is the Bears long snapper now?
Patrick Scales.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Scales. He's been around a minute. The, yeah.
Manly, though.
It's our guy.
So what else, boys? Oh, that's
I mean, do we want to go back to the Bears for a minute? Because they, Matt Nagy said that they are going to keep whoever is calling plays this weekend private. And our other guy, Olin Krutz, said that if he's not saying it's him calling plays, then it's not him calling plays in reference to Nagy. So it looks like a laser is up again. And round we go.
Do you guys want to introduce our new gambling segment? Well, I'm just kidding. We don't have a new gambling segment. But Bears look-ahead line was -6. It's down to -3.
It's a field goal game, yeah. Yeah.
Anybody on this?
I can't in good conscience say that I'm betting the Bears this weekend.
This feels like a game Nagy wins by like 40.
I'm sitting it out.
Okay. It just feels like it because why? Because we're all out. And it's clear and convincing that he should be fired and we hate his guts. And I just feel like the universe is so against us
mm-hmm.
that he's going to come out with like this fucking game plan. Justin Fields look awesome. We route the Lions and we're like back to having momentum.
I think that last game, I think that is possible because of everything. Like the gambling world, just that's how the gambling world works. But my brain tells me that you look at that game from Sunday against the Browns and the game and the Lions, who, you know, like the Lions are the Lions, but that team plays hard. And I could see a situation like Dave, you know, the episode the other day referenced like the Nick Foles on camera thing being like Matt's offense doesn't work. And I think you could see a thing where they, and Jimmy Graham's pissed, where they just fucking mail it in. Like the Lions come out and bite their kneecaps and hit them in the mouth and all the shit that Dan Campbell preaches. I could see the Bears being like, fuck this.
Are you hoping for that?
That's not in my nature. You know, like I just. I think
even if you know that'll lead to the ultimate demise for the staff,
I just can't root against. I can't. I know long term it's like better, but I just can't root for. It's just gonna happen. Like it has to happen. So,
but
I don't think I'm rooting for it.
Like we've talked about this a lot over the last handful of years. Is that if anything, Matt Nagy is good at keeping the locker room together. And you keep saying, like, you're referencing this like tweet by a backup tight end who doesn't even fucking play.
It was retweeted.
Retweeted, whatever it was. And, oh, that's even different.
That is different.
That is different.
Yeah, not whatever
you
it
know
was.
What makes me more upset about that, though? Tell me. Starting to make me more mad. Is that, oh, he kept the locker room together. Like, he's clearly doing something right. Well, then just lose the fucking ego and have someone else call the plays, dude.
Yeah.
Drop it. Like, yeah. Why are you making your life harder?
Yes.
You know what they
say? Why are you making your life harder?
You said it. I use this word at the start of the season. His ego is way too big to be a successful leader in the National Football League. Now I sound like a big fucking meatball pundit, but his ego is so fucking big. Yeah. Because if he could get out of his way.
Yeah. Yeah. And Pace, too. Like, Pace, like.
Oh, no.
What he should be doing is being like, look at everybody's for sale. You want Allen Robinson for the last 12 weeks of the year? Give me a call. You want Khalil Mack? You want who
when is the trade deadline?
I think it's usually week 6. I'll look it up.
Because that's approaching, and I actually, if they are this bad against the Lions, I would have no problem
that's
with that.
I mean.
And we do have some good trade assets.
Tuesday, November 2nd at 4.
Robert Quinn, 4 sacks in 3 games.
Yeah. To literally anybody on the roster not named Justin Fields. David Montgomery, maybe Darnell Mooney, like the rookie contract guys. Everybody else should just be like available and ready to be traded. And
you're not Sean Payton, dude. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to do.
Yeah,
not many people could do it.
Right,
it's okay to not be able to do something.
Right,
and you can't fucking do it, Nagy.
Yep,
drives me fucking nuts.
He stinks.
He stinks.
I'm so mad at myself.
For what?
Yeah. Leaving the door open. For the possibility of like a ray of light shining through, and then just get my fingers slammed in the door again. Like,
but hope is a great thing. It might be the best of
things. No, it's a dangerous thing.
I love hope. I'm always like, I'm a hopeful guy. Like, we got the Hawks game tonight against Detroit. I'm hopeful.
Oh, God.
If he's getting his head knocked off, Fields, if he, you know.
They haven't named a starter.
If he starts.
Yeah.
Get sacked less than 9 times.
Like, I just throw Foles out there. I don't want this kid to get fucked up.
I agree.
This is like old school Jason Hayward. If you're going to be paying that much money, you're eating innings.
Yeah.
You're eating snaps.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Jason Hayward, you're getting 650 plate appearances next year, whether you like it or not, buddy. I don't give a fuck how your wrist is feeling.
Yeah. If it's a thing where that's going to be happening, get him out of there.
Yeah.
He's not going to learn. It's only going to damage him.
He was lucky to get to walk off the field in that game. So, I agree. And it's like you can't evaluate him and you should just not, like, don't even. But again, like, that's where, like, Nagy needs, like, a boss to, like, come down and be like, fuck you, dude. Like, you're not ruining the future of this franchise. I don't care if it's Ted Phillips or Virginia. Like, come on up to Virginia's office and she's got to tell you that you can't do what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, it's really, I don't know.
We have two idiots in charge, and the idea of Pace and Nagy behind closed doors talking football strategy just makes me want to puke.
Got to think that this Arlington thing secures Ted Phillips for a while too. Now,
I mean, if Ted Phillips hasn't gone anywhere, and how distraught was Wani to find out that Ted Phillips is making decisions?
Yeah. But doesn't that make you more worried? Because, I mean, they need to fucking divide this. They need to divide
a football development. Yes. Like, silo just make
you need fucking, new owners. Yes. Yeah. We need new owners.
Yes. Go, like, sit down with. And if you don't get new owners, sit down with fucking Ricketts and be like, yeah, here, I gave Crane this, then I gave Theo this, and it worked out. Yep. Like, that needs to happen. Ted, here you go. You're Crane.
And
X, Y, and Z is going to be the guy who only, you know.
Right.
Kind of like when.
Let fucking Ted worry about the 17th floor bar.
Well, Ted was the accountant. Ted was like the auditor.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, that is an all time. They should have like Boondoggle. A Michael J. Fox movie about the ascension of from the mailroom to the CEO, from the fucking bookkeeper to the guy literally overseeing every decision level. Good for him, though. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, why not?
I could have sworn he came from Pepsi. I'm trying to look up that now, too. But it's just, you're right. Like, it's just like, this guy fucking stinks. But you're right. No, it says he was an Ernst & Young guy.
Yep.
Brutal. Go back in the basement. You're red.
No, I said accountants. We know our success stories in the accounting industry. Yeah. We know where that guy came from.
That's a success story?
That guy fucking runs a Bears.
Hey, not he well. Failed upwards.
Not well.
I mean,
he's getting paid.
Yeah. Stinks.
Any other quick notes? Quick programming notes. Second show of the week.
Jonathan Taves is in the lineup tonight for the Chicago Blackhawks. That's exciting.
That's
he's
a huge.
Back healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Dave's favorite player, Lucas Reichel, also in the lineup tonight.
I love
baseball
that.
Baseball player.
There you go.
I actually will be looking.
At, yeah. Number because 20, of that. Number 27. He'll be out there for you, Dave.
I'll be looking.
See if you can see any transferable skills tonight. I mean,
explosion in an athlete is transferable no matter what you're doing. But
he's supposed to be explosive. Considering where
Jonathan Taves was at a year ago and we're like, is he like on his deathbed or something?
Yeah.
It's a huge fucking deal.
Yeah, there's like probably three guys that are vitally important to this run in the lineup tonight. Obviously Taves, and then Henrik Borgstrom, who they traded for last night, is getting his first look as a Hawk, and then Reichel. They need one of those two guys to like step up and grab a job. They're on the same line tonight, so we'll see how they look.
Wait, did you catch that, Ed?
No, I didn't. What happened?
This run?
What?
There's a run?
What do you mean?
You go this run.
Like this upcoming season. Yeah. Like this next, like, yeah. Like they just spent, you know, a shit ton of money on Fleury, McCabe, Seth Jones, mm-hmm. Taves and Kane are still there. Like they're like the rebuild's done. Like they're trying to go on a little run here with this group. And so if you look at their roster construction right now, they have a lot of very interesting pieces. There are some holes in the top nine where you're looking for, you know, significant contributions from your top nine, right? Mm-hmm. So those guys get the most ice time. You probably need two more wings. And they have a group of like maybe six guys that are competing for those spots. And Borgstrom's definitely in the mix, and so is Reichel. And those two guys, you know, so it'll be interesting to see like what they show their first true NHL competition, which I know it's preseason, but this is where you got to make your bones and make the roster. It'll be interesting to see how those guys look, and I'm with Dave. I'm pretty optimistic about Reichel, so I'm excited to see him play. But they're trying to win. They're trying to win this year.
Oh yeah, no, they got the goalie and they made the trade for Seth Jones and they're better.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if like in baseball
era have been a better word choice for
no, because I thought when you say run, it's like oh, there's like a let's fucking go, like that's a thing that's more of like a.
Yeah, maybe
an optimistic thing. So that's why my ears perked up because relative to baseball, you could start the year like, I mean, the Dodgers are going to be in the World Series if they get out of the wild card. Like, you know who the fucking heavy, heavy hitters are, mm-hmm. and you're either at the table or you're not.
Yeah, I would say that the Hawks are not at that table with, like, the Colorados and the Vegases of the Western Conference, but they're you can if everything goes right, and I'm sure we'll do like a bigger preview, you know, in a couple of weeks as on the eve of the season. But if Doc takes a step where he's becoming like a legitimate awesome center, and Tyler Johnson still has something left in the tank, and McCabe helps shore things up, and Taves is a point per game guy, and you know, and Seth Jones is a stud like we want, then you know, like it's not inconceivable that they're like in the mix for like that third place spot in the Central mm-hmm. Division, and then you know you never know in the playoffs. Like guys get hurt, goalies get hot. I like you know Taves and Kane, and it's like you. I'm not saying they're a cup team; they're definitely not. I think they're probably right on the border of being a playoff team, but they're trying to win, And you know me, I hope they do. So it's much more positive vibes this year than any of the last, you know, 3-4 years.
Beautiful. Yeah. Jonathan Tay is back on the ice, man.
It'll be nice to see. He looks fucking ripped too. Like
he went on a warpath.
Like
2%
body fat. Yeah, he looks fucking shredded. So I'm excited.
There we go. And then starting next week, la 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 la
thunder.
They should have just fucking someone just cranked my headphones. I don't know how that happened.
No,
but
I just probably smacked it.
No, now I can hear myself.
Oh, sorry.
In my ears, but
stay with us, Dave.
Do I want to sing Thunderstruck?
Battle
again?
They should have just unleashed that for the game 3 of the ALDS because the stadium would have burned to the ground.
Thunder.
They did it last night. Week, they shouldn't have teased it. I'm so fucking excited. Excited.
Are you scared?
Do I seem scared to you?
I love
Look
it.
Look at how I'm looking right now.
You don't get any. You don't get the gases. The juice is pumped a little bit. Like you get like that pregame jitters for the big game.
I got to take my headphones off.
I think you're a little
off.
Overconfident.
We'll get into it next week.
This is what I... So
we'll end on this.
Private Blackburn in the movie Black Hawk Down, which is one of my favorite movies. It's actually Orlando Bloom. He's only in the movie for a minute. But he's an 18-year-old that enlists. He's in what was supposed to be Ethiopia.
Somalia.
Somalia, excuse me. And he looks and he goes, I'm nervous. I'm excited, but I'm also nervous. But it's good nervous. I've been waiting my whole life for this. So, like, I got a couple nerves here, but no,
are you
at the same time,
your playoff nerves to a well, he's real, right?
It's a real story, yes. But I'm talking about a line in the movie. I'm a little nervous, but I'm like, I've been waiting for this, and I cannot wait.
There's nothing better than big game jitters.
I feel it like I'm ready. I'm ready.
It's a drug. It's a drug. You wake up, you're ready. It's every, you know, like you're ready for war.
I'm ready for war. Already got the dog situation taken care of.
That's big.
He will be spending time with my brother, which is cool, and I will be ready to go.
Beautiful.
I give Dave credit for looking ahead at some of the responsibilities that might be skirted in the process. Like having a dog to look after, that'd be tough for the playoff run.
Don't got to worry about it.
I got a question for you. Actually, no. Never mind.
No. You can't do that. It's against the rules.
It's inappropriate. I'll ask you afterwards.
No, you got to ask now.
I can't. I'm not going to. It would be a bad look for us.
There you go.
Yep.
All right.
All gas.
No breaks.
DJ, play that shit. What'd you say?